May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I hope in that Photina, the lady, the Samaritan woman, is becoming a close friend of yours. As much time as we've spent talking about her. Jesus said to her, when they began to discuss where is the proper place to worship, Mount Gerizim in Samaria or Jerusalem, Jesus said, really, that's irrelevant. It's not a place here or there. It's about your heart. And that the Father, even now, the time has come and it's even now, where the Father is looking for true worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and truth. Spirit with all your heart in light of the truth of who He is, that He's so good, that He's our Heavenly Father. And we've talked about this before, but just to remind you again that worship is not first and foremost or even primarily what we do in a service when the music starts and ends when the music stops. That's an expression of worship, but we've gotten confused as to thinking that's worship and we're finished worship. Becoming a true worshiper begins at your spiritual new birth and continues throughout all of eternity. This woman, in her encounter with the Lord, actually encounters personal revival. And what history tells us, it's something that she walked in for the rest of her life, for another 30 or 40 years, she and her whole family. And she not only walked in personal revival, she carried it and released it everywhere she went as a result of her encounter with Jesus. Now, that's what Jesus is after. And to understand better what a true worshiper is or what a worshiper is, again, think of a really familiar passage of Scripture would be Romans chapter 12. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in light of how good God is, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or rational service of worship. New American Standard says, which is your spiritual service of worship, but it could also be translated reasonable or rational. In other words, he says that the only reasonable and rational thing to do in light of how good God is, in light of His mercies, is to give everything you have in radical and absolute surrender to Him as an act of spiritual worship. And so that verse tells us that worship is first and foremost about a heart that's completely and totally yielded to God. As a matter of fact, right after the verses that Ron quit reading, the disciples show back up from Sychar with food for him, and they say, we need you to eat now. And he says, I'm not hungry. I'm already full. And then they begin to ask each other the question, who might have given him something to eat? And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's not a coincidence that Jesus throws that in there after saying that the Father is looking for true worshipers, because Jesus is saying to these guys, I'm a true worshiper because my whole life is about doing His will. That's a worshiper. And so what He's looking for are a people who will love Him so much they'll surrender everything they are to Him, and that everything that they do, no matter how small or how big, in private where nobody notices but God, or maybe in front of thousands or hundreds or people who are his opinion about you or evaluation of you is important, everything that you do and then everything that you think and everything you say is done as an act of yielded worship to God. It gives relevance to everything we do, big or small, because it's all done in an attitude of absolute and total surrender. One of my favorite places that describes a true worshiper, a person who's walking in revival, is Ephesians chapter 5. We would say that a person who's living in revival It's a person who's continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Well, this is what that looks like. Ephesians chapter 5 says, do not live your life staying drunk with wine. In other words, for your heart to be filled with joy. Instead, because that's dissipation, that's an error, that's deception, but continually be filled with the Holy Spirit instead. It's a much better intoxication. And then he goes on and describes what that's going to look like. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Is that what your relationship was like with other people? When people encounter you, even if you're talking about serious things, it's just a mixture of hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Your life is a life of worship. And that's not about the songs. It's just this thing that's coming up out of you, joy. Everything you do is a celebration of His will. Or, as people encounter us, is what come out, what's actually in, complaining and griping and anger and control and fear and anxiety, dominance, manipulation. Being continually filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. This is what it should be like in community with Christians. Speaking to one another. So it's not singing, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And making melody in your hearts to God. In other words, a true worshiper, a person in revival, there's just a melody in their heart to God all the time. It's an inside thing that comes outside in their conversation with people. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Because He's so good. He describes a true worshiper here, the Holy Spirit, as somebody whose life, their inside is a song that's making melody to God. They're singing in their heart. Not necessarily a song, there's just a singing heart, a joyful heart. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. It manifests itself in just this delightful conversation. It's like worship to people. And they're living with a constant sense of gratitude. Instead of offense and murmuring and complaining because the Father is so good. That's a true worshiper. That's somebody walking in revival. And here's the cool thing. These are some things I'm going to share with our crew tonight who's coming in for Inner Healing Weekend. Here's the thing about her. She carried revival. The first place that she carried revival was where? Home. She went straight into the midst of the people that she was most uncomfortable with. Aren't those the hardest people in the world? Or maybe the people who near you have hurt you and offended you? These people have rejected her for decades. But she carried revival there. One of the real marks of genuine renewal and revival, a person who's being filled with the fullness of God and carrying it, is that in the people who are closest to them, doing the most mundane things in life, it's just spilling out over them and impacting them. If it's not happening there, if you're a grump and a grouch and an offensive complainer to the people who are closest to you, doing the most mundane things, then that's a clear indicator that you've learned the words, but you've not encountered the one who fills us with the Holy Spirit. It should manifest there first. You can't win the world if you haven't been able to win the person you're working next to. What I mean by that, just win them over to something that's more different about you. Be gloriously irritating. You see what I'm saying? If it's real, it'll be real at the place where you may be the least comfortable in or maybe the most comfortable in to, quote, be yourself. But if you're a new self, that's where it's going to be manifested first and foremost. And you know what the result was? The whole town came to Christ. Everybody who disliked her, rejected her, the purpose she should have been bitter at, they all came to Jesus. Her two sons, history tells us, served Jesus and gave themselves as martyrs in Rome before Nero. Her whole family experienced revival because she carried it into the place that's most intimate to her, the hardest place in the world, to the people who maybe have offended you the most. If it doesn't work there, it's not real. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.